Hello, my name is Dustin Atwood. I'm the operations manager and have been for about 10 years, maybe a little bit longer than that, for A1 Custom Car Care here in Southwest Missouri. We have three locations, two in Springfield, one in Republic, and then I do some consulting work for two shops down in Northwest Arkansas. So what I want to talk about today, this is our third installment of our podcast. We're going to kind of keep this going. It's more about current events and things that I see in the automotive field that I feel like if you're aware of, either you can be proactive or you're not surprised when things jump up that you weren't expecting. So for instance, we did a radio show here on a local network for probably about maybe 9 years, and we've been part of that radio station in a smaller capacity for probably close to 15 years. And the main driving motivation behind that was education. And so I want to be able to continue that. If you have things that you want to talk about or topics you want, maybe an opinion, or even to educate me on something that I don't know, please like, subscribe, and comment down in the comment section. It really does help the channel out, as well as if you share it to anybody that you find may be beneficial to some of this information. So I've been with the company a little over 20 years. There's some earlier information on some of the earlier podcasts. You can dive into that if you'd like. But something I want to talk about right now is that there are a lot of us out there, or at least maybe a lot in my my little sphere, if you will, that have young drivers that are coming into the, you know, kind of freedom, if you will, of driving under their own time and effort. And so I've taught a few different young folks to drive. I'm on, you know, basically my son right now that he's getting ready, or he is 16, but he's getting ready to be able to be eligible to take his driver's permit. So we're focusing on a lot of different things for him. So he's aware of being a good driver. I think God knows here in Southwest Missouri, and even here in the States, wherever you find yourself, we need more good drivers, especially young, inexperienced drivers that are good and confident when they get out there on the road. They, A, are not creating situations, but B, if they find themselves in a situation, they know what to do about it to get themselves out of it safely and hopefully not harm themselves or, God forbid, anybody else. So we're spending a lot of time, even this evening when I leave from work here in a little while, I plan to go pick him up, and then he's going to be my driver for the next several hours this evening to make sure that he's ready when he comes up to take his driving exam. So one of the biggest lessons, I guess, or things I thought we would talk about today, and this is not something that I came up with, another shop owner here in Springfield. So, you know, Doug, if you're out there and you happen to run into this video, which I seriously doubt, he shared with me many years ago, and when he said it, every once in a while you hear these things in life and you're like, okay, I have to file that one away, is that the driver's main job is to make your passenger, which in my case will be me, very comfortable riding with you. So you're maintaining your lane, you're maintaining your speed, you're not tailgating, you're not off of the speed of whatever the road is or the speed limit too far to where you're going too slow and impeding traffic. Your turns are nice and smooth. Your stops are nice and smooth. There's a confidence about you, not a false confidence, but a confidence that, hey, I know what I'm doing and I'm going to keep you safe and this is going to be a pleasant drive. Versus folks that aren't, and they're all over the road, they're too touchy on the brakes, they're too touchy on the throttle, they don't maintain the speed, they don't maintain their lane, their turns are typically at speed and too fast, and they just don't know what to do about it. So that's something that I'm working on with my son right now, as well as automotive awareness. Now, unfortunately, being in the automotive field for a couple of decades now, I've seen the consequences of when people don't know, hey, they should check their oil, or they don't know that I got a low tire and I shouldn't drive on it. They don't know when it's overheating what to do. And I'm sure I'm going to have issues, even some of our older kids, my wife and I's older kids, we've had issues with them, you know, just not knowing. And a lot of times I take it for granted, like this information that's here, everybody has it out there. And I kind of forget that from time to time. So a couple of the things, I guess, just that we're going to talk about now is kind of a, I don't want to say a pre-trip inspection, but something I do pretty regularly. If you don't have a TPMS system, which stands for Tire Pressure Monitoring System, that's the little horseshoe light on your dash, if you will. that tells you whether you have a low tire or not, or maybe it tells you the PSI or, you know, lack thereof in your vehicle. That's actually a very good system, in my opinion. When it first came out, I thought, I don't really, I mean, that's kind of a waste, if you will. It's a nice to have, not a need to have. But I think in today's world, the fact that the technology is there, the parts and the serviceability is fairly reasonable and somewhat standardized, it makes it really nice to have, and it's borderline on a need to have. So if you ever run a tire low on air, A, it's unsafe. The vehicle's kind of all over the road. B, it overheats the tire and damages it from the inside out. And so I don't know about you guys, but I did just put a set of tires on this particular truck. They're not giving them away. Even if you're in the business and you can mount and balance your own tires, really that's a marginal fee for the amount of work that it is. To me, it was probably worth it more to pay one of my guys to do it than it was me. Now, I didn't do that because I enjoy working on cars, but I'm just telling you that it's not that much cheaper if you're able to do the service on tires yourself. So I want to make sure and protect them as much as possible, and I want to make sure that he's safe out there on the road. So making sure the tires are in good shape and having the ability to deal with it if and when you have a low tire. So pretty much all of my vehicles in my personal fleet either have a cordless air compressor, whether it's a Milwaukee, DeWalt, or Snap-on. My favorite still is a Milwaukee. I've tested all three of those, the M12, the M18, the 20-volt DeWalt standalone compressor, the 60 or 20-volt pancake compressor, which is pretty good, and then the Snap-on. As you can see behind me, I do like Snap-on. They make a lot of good products. That air compressor, not impressed. If I had it to do over again, I would have kept that pile of money and not bought it. The Milwaukee one, however, I absolutely would replace it if, God forbid, something happened to it today. And I probably will buy additional ones so I have some more options and vehicles. But even if you don't want to spend that kind of money, they make anywhere from $40 to about $60 on Amazon. I'm not going to put any links in there. You can Amazon, Google it just as good as I can. They're 12-volt. They come in a little typically black bag. They make good air as far as like you're not going to be there forever like you are at a gas station. They hook positive and negative. They're red and black coated to your battery. And then you can flick them with a power on and off switch. There's a gauge on there that'll show you, hey, I'm good. And then you can get it into a tire shop. If you have a tire that continuously needs air, get it into a tire shop. Get it into one of our shops. If not, get it to somebody's tire shop, because you will drive on that tire and you'll ruin it, and it's going to cost you on the low end $100. On the high end, I've seen $350, $400 tires out there. Excuse me, I'm getting a little drink here. So that's an important thing. Keeping fuel in the vehicle, that's something that I talk about with new drivers quite often. I really don't want a vehicle ever run below a quarter tank of fuel. It costs the same amount of money to run it on a quarter tank as it does to run it on E. You save no money. But what you gain is that quarter of a tank keeps the in-tank pump, which is about this tall on almost all vehicles, it keeps it submerged in cold or cool gasoline. Now, it is safe. We've been running these systems for decades. We've got away from the exploding cars for the most part. But you don't want to overheat that electric pump, burn it out, and then have a fairly medium to large repair bill. Even if you could do it yourself, the expense and your time is worth something. I've literally gotten hundreds of thousands of miles where I see people at 40, 60, 80,000 burn up their pumps because they're constantly driving it on E, and they don't save any money. It costs the same amount. So that's something that I kind of talk with young drivers quite a bit about. The same part of that is, I'm sure there's some of you out there that may or may not do this. You fill up your tank. When it clicks off, you can fit another $3, $4, $5 worth of fuel in there, maybe even another gallon or two, and you fill the tank all the way up the filler neck. Well, there is venting in there that if it, on certain makes and models, if it ever pushes liquid into the charcoal canister, and I don't want to nerd out too much, but just stay with me for a minute. That extra fuel, when you put fuel in a car and it actually clicks off, as you put fuel in, for it not to back up through the filler neck, it's pushing the, or displacing the air that's in the tank into the charcoal canister, and then it vents into atmosphere. The charcoal captures the fuel vapors, and you know, anybody that's looked at a gas can out in the sun, you see the vapors coming out of the fuel can. That charcoal catches and absorbs the vapors, and then when you give it a pretty good throttle request, the purge valve opens and it exhausts all those vapors into the engine and burns them, so you don't lose them. It doesn't also pollute the atmosphere. So when you fill it up, or you continuously fill it up, it'll push liquid gasoline in there, oversaturate the charcoal, break the charcoal down, and then we have, you know, $1,000 to $2,000 repair getting all that fixed. So that's a little bit probably deep in the weeds for new drivers, but this is the coaching that I really feel like needs to happen, because people don't know this or don't tell anybody this. And then they come in and I'm talking with them about a fairly large repair they weren't ready for. And the education piece is what could have helped them save or be able to allocate that money somewhere else. And that's really why I got in the business. I'm very good at fixing cars. And when I say I, that is A1 Custom Car Care, because it's a lot bigger. I could not fix all of your vehicles, diagnose them, get them repaired, and get them back to you by myself, nor do I want to. So I have a tremendous amount of folks around me that make sure that they take care of it, and we take care of it at a very high level. So when you're bringing a new driver in there, these are topics that I feel like you need to have a discussion with them about, to prevent them from getting in situations that maybe didn't work out in their favor. So along with that, as we kind of continue to talk about some of the things, obviously seatbelt, get your seats adjusted, get your mirrors adjusted to where you can see what's going on. My son actually has kind of crappy vision, and so we've done some things with some of the mirrors. We're upgrading the mirrors so he has bigger or more ability to see left and right and back the vehicle correctly, as well as see oncoming vehicles, make sure nobody's in his blind spot. And then we've added some tint to the windshield that should help some of the astigmatism of his eyes. So trying to make sure we're giving him as many tools in his toolbox to be a good driver. So if you see him out there, that he's not going to do anything that's going to, you know, impede traffic or get in a situation that nobody wants to be a part of. So now we've kind of got in, we're buckled in, we've got everything adjusted. Now we've got to start feeling. And this is the part that you really can't learn from a book or a discussion, but good coaching helps with that. And so what I've noticed is, you know, making sure that they get the feel of the throttle and the feel of the braking and when and how to brake. I had a very good driving instructor, Coach Middleton. If you happen to be out there, I appreciate what you did for me. He talked about how to manage corners correctly. And, you know, typically I coach, you know, kind of coast or slow down going into the corner, and then let it roll through the first 30% of the corner. And if you're doing this right and you're reading the road correctly, you lightly accelerate through the last 2/3 of the corner, and it keeps you more in control of the vehicle, because now, instead of just rolling or trying to break through the corner, you set you and your passenger back in the seat, and you are driving yourself through that corner, and it makes for a much smoother, more pleasant corner. That's one of the things I think we're working on the most right now, as well as where to pull up to a stop sign, stop light intersection, how to navigate that, etc. I think a lot of the other stuff is covered as far as turn signals, following distance. I know I was always taught for every 10 miles an hour is a car length, and so that's what I'm teaching as well. If that's changed out there, or I have some professional drivers out there, I would sure like to know. That's worked out well for me. I definitely feel like I don't appreciate when somebody's riding my bumper, so I try not to be that person riding somebody else's. And thank you for the folks out there that share that same mindset. The other part of it is you need to be a good example for the young people as well. So when your vehicle needs service, and I am going to roll this into a service discussion. These vehicles are getting insanely expensive. And the repairs and the parts and the skilled labor to repair a very complex vehicle is not getting any cheaper either. So with all that being said, we need to arm them as much as possible to where we don't have vehicles that we lose from service because we didn't do what we needed to. So the vehicle that I'm teaching my son to drive in is a 07 F-150. I drove it to work today so I can drive it home, pick him up, and drive him around this evening so he can drive from the point that I'm picking him up. But that vehicle's right at, it'll probably roll over 310,000 miles today. Now, I've owned that vehicle outright, obviously, for quite a while, and it's served me very, very well. Now, I've had to do quite a bit to get it back to a good, usable, productive, dependable vehicle, but I don't owe anything on it, and now that I've done all that, I'm getting my return on investment. Here in the early to mid part of March 2025, new vehicles are $40,000, $50,000 for something kind of middle of the road. The average car, truck, SUV payment is well over $700. $770 was the last statistic I heard. I know the repo market is, as far as the repossession market, is climbing at a rate that we haven't seen in many, many years. And so these vehicles out here, personally, I would love to go buy a new vehicle, but I sure don't want to pay for it. And if I can keep and drive or rehabilitate older vehicles and put them back in service, that's what I'm doing. And so you look at some of our older kids, they're driving 02, 12, 22, so well over 20 years old. We just passed one on that we were able to resell. It was right at 20 years old. You look at this 07 F-150, we're working on it. That's where I get the return for investment. So even sometimes I have somebody come in and maybe needs a $3,000 repair, say, or a large item fails. And they're kind of like, oh, that's more than the car is worth. Well, when you think about the sales tax of buying a new car, the property tax here in Missouri, which is absolutely ridiculous in my opinion, and then the insurance increase, which is getting real out there, $770, say even if it's a $500 a month payment. Well, this F-150, I probably have about maybe $7,500 to $8,000 in it. It's been driving for the last 5 years since I put the bulk of that money in there. I'm way money ahead for that investment than I would have been otherwise trying to make payments on a vehicle and then, God forbid, have problems with it. Now that I've done all that repair work to it, I keep real close tabs on the maintenance on it. I'm not one that thinks the extended oil change intervals is a good idea, let alone I'm also not one to let the checking the oil or changing the oil go too far. But literally 9 out of 10 cars that I see at any of our locations, which service a pretty significant amount of cars a month, when I rip the dipstick on them, which we do a lot, most of them are 1, 2, or 3 quarts low on oil. I literally had one towed in, and it was a diesel-powered vehicle that was oil pressure driven to fire in the injectors. It was an older diesel. It was run out of oil to the point that it had no more oil to open the injectors up and stall. That was the only reason they stopped driving it. And had it not had that Huey injection, hydraulically unit controlled actuating injection, something of that nature, it's a power stroke or an older one. Had it not had that Huey injection system on there, they would have drove it till it locked up. Now I poured 2 gallons, not quarts, 2 gallons of oil in it, got it fired back up. They drove it probably about another year and then ended up having a catastrophic failure where it split one of the O-rings that separated the oil and fuel. So it was mixing diesel fluid with the engine oil, and so that's not going to work out. So a little bit or a moderate amount of maintenance will allow you to get to what I'm talking about now, where you've got a 300-plus-thousand-mile vehicle and it's still driving and dependable and useful to you and your family versus having to run out, get financing, pay interest, pay taxes. That, to me, yeah, it's great having something new and nice, but my goodness, the noose that it puts around your neck really makes it hard to bear. Now, you do see over here, I am a big Ford guy. That doesn't mean I don't love my GM. And then certain Mopar Dodge items, not necessarily Stellantis. I'm very good at fixing them, but they have really changed hands over years. So if you have a Dodge, Mopar, Jeep, Ram, very good, and I can get a lot more life out of them as well. But they're, you got to come at it from a different angle. I own a 16 model 1-ton Duramax, so big Chevy guy there. My service truck that I depend on every day is 2012 single rear wheel K3500 1-ton gas Chevy pickup, so 6-liter. I'm really good with the LS platform. And then Asian vehicles, I work on them as well. I really admire a lot of the engineering that goes into them. And then as far as our company, we've got people that have skill sets in the Asian European area to really take care of, you know, the right problem or the right customer with the right technician. And I guess maybe that sparks a thought as well. Not every doctor, lawyer, mechanic, mason, electrician, sheetrock, carpenter, not all of them are created equal. And a lot of times folks think that, you know, they go to either big chain, independent, or dealer, and just because you're there, every mechanic has the same experience and training. And they really don't. And we do a very, very high-level job of making sure that we continue our education and making sure that we shuffle your vehicle to the right mechanic that has experience and training. And not every mechanic likes to do every job out there. Now, I've been a truck guy forever, and I'm a bigger person. I've always worked on trucks, and it seems like even at the shop, I can work on your cars too. But I always drew the trucks because a lot of the other guys didn't want to deal with the heavier, bigger components that you find on half-ton and up trucks. They like doing some of the lighter car repairs. Now, adversely, the flip side of that is I can do dash work. I can do your heater cores, your evaporators, your mode door motors inside the dash, but I don't particularly love it. I'm a very broad, big person, so stuffing me under the dash is a little bit tougher than somebody that's maybe 5'5 and a little bit smaller frame. So finding the mechanic that fits you is kind of an important thing. I've shared this story quite often, and I took this with a lot of humility and compliment. When I first got into the business, we have had a customer, he's since passed away, amazing, amazing, nice man, brought his daughter in and said, hey, if and when you ever have car problems, yeah, you can call me, but we are coming to A1 Custom Car Care. And so we've serviced not only his vehicle for decades, but we then serviced the daughter's vehicle for decades. So that's kind of a cool thing, right? Well, now I've been with the company and I've been in the industry and doing this long enough. Several years ago, she brought her daughter in, who already knew us from coming up through as she grew up, and said, hey, this is who you take your car to. This is who I have. You can obviously call me, but we're going to have A1 Custom take care of your vehicle. And I have taken that as a great compliment for many decades. And I've had other similar situations, but that's the one that sticks out in my memory the most as the biggest compliment, that not only did we, you know, take care of the first generation and the second generation and the third generation, even in my time here with A1 Custom. And so that's been a really cool thing to be a part of. And, you know, as far as I know, I don't remember ever having a catastrophic failure with any of their vehicles. We've done some major repairs for them, but their philosophy as a family is they would check the oil, they would top the oil off, and if something was out of the ordinary, they would get it in and have a service. So really important kind of big key moment in my professional career I felt like I should share with you guys. Some of the other ones that have kind of happened over the years is I've watched kind of some of the bad things, but there's some good out there. I've seen the Slick Willy, you know, used to be Craigslist, now it's probably a marketplace, scams that are going on out there where they Band-Aid and bubblegum a vehicle together. They meet you in a parking lot. They sell it. They take your cash money and they bolt. I've seen that happen. I've seen people stick through our pre-purchase inspection program, sometimes 6 to 10 cars, and that's a lot to ask of you. But I've seen them buy vehicles that were well worth the money that they've got 10, 20 years of service out of. And then I've seen folks that I look at two or three and I tell them no, no, no. And then they don't bring one because they get fed up with hearing no and they buy one. And it needs $8,000 worth of work for it to be safe for them to drive dependably. And that's really what this discussion is about today. Is we've got a lot of young folks that are moving into the professional space. The baby boomers are retiring. They put in their time. They were the lion's share of all industries for a long time. And I'm seeing that change right now. I don't know about you guys, but A1 Custom has done a very good job keeping up with that. So we have some of the younger folks that I'm not as young as I once was, I guess, but keeping up with some of those changes. And then now I'm trying to usher in even people to do and teach some of the things that I've learned over the years. So in 5 years, 10 years, they're able to do what I am able to do now, if not better. And there's a lot of folks out there that worry about that, or I don't know if you've ever had a boss, but I've had a few of them over the years, been many years ago, but I never forgot the lessons that they wanted to be the proprietary mindset behind, you know, the magic of whatever the business is. Basically, they didn't want to teach you the things that would make them replaceable. And that's a really unfortunate way to look at things, in my opinion. That's a scarcity mindset. My goal and really my mentor's goal as well has been able to pour into me and hopefully make them as good, if not better, than they were. And I'm trying to pass that on as well. And the automotive field changes so fast. If you're not getting better every single day, I think one of the shows that we did earlier last week or this week is this was a training that me and a couple of my other technicians went to. This was a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday training. So that was a lot of time for us. But we had to constantly keep getting better in order to not be left behind with the automotive field. And I don't want that for me, and I sure don't want that for you. There's a lot of fields out there that practice their business. I don't want to practice, and we're not a practicing company. We're in automotive repair. And for you and your young drivers, that's really what I feel like is missing out there in the professional space, that we have to do a better job being a professional. And so that starts with us. That starts with me attending training after hours, during work, weekends, whatever. I've got to keep getting better so our team keeps getting better. And then they push me as well. You know, I've got folks that are drivability absolute masters out there and guys that can do heavy line repair better than I ever could. Does any of that bother me? No. I'm extremely proud and I learn every single day from them and I try and impart some of my experiences that'll make their life a little bit better. So I hope wherever you're at, either you're a part of that, you're setting the tone, or you're working towards that, or God forbid if you're not seeing that where you're at, you need to make a decision to move on. Because we are setting the example for our young people. We're teaching them what to do, what not to do, and what to put up with. And, you know, nothing's perfect. You're going to have those tough days. But I feel like you find the character of a person or the character of a company and business when things don't go right. And I want to say that again. Everything's great until you run into headwinds and things get tough. Then you find the character of the folks that you're dealing with. And with young folks coming out in this crazy, crazy world that we live in, I want to be proactive instead of reactive, and I hope you'll join me in that. So we're coming up on a half hour here. I'm going to try and continue doing this. We're going to do several while I get the podcasting studio kind of set up with just you and I talking, and then I'm going to bust out, and we're going to have some other discussions with some of our A1 Custom staff. So you know, let's say this is Jason or this is Annie or you know, whoever our team member is, and you see and know who you're working with when you come into one of our facilities, And then I'm going to start bringing other vendors in to have discussions as well, because I really want to share some of the hard-fought knowledge that I've had to come through the School of Hard Knocks. And maybe if one person benefits from that, it's absolutely worth it. So, again, my name is Dustin Atwood with A1 Custom Car Care. I am master certified not only in medium and heavy duty, but also automotive. I've been doing this professionally here in the Southwest and Northwest Arkansas, Southwest Missouri, Northwest Arkansas area for well over two decades. If you have some comments or concerns, please let me have them and consider subscribing to the channel. Appreciate your time.